I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
The good times are rolling even without Freddie and Harry in the saddle tonight. You get Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, yep. Amber Wilson hanging out, filling in for the guys. You can find them at Zaslow Show, at Chad Brown 94, at Amber W Sports is how you find me. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. We are getting you ready for this NFL draft. We are just a little less than an hour away now from our draft coverage kicking off right here across your ESPN radio stations on the ESPN app and, of course, on Sirius XM Channel 80. And then the actual draft will head your way at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we will finally have all the answers. And maybe that's boring because now we have spent months and months and months guessing, guys, guessing what is going to happen. So now we have a little less than an hour to guess one final time.
Amber, I need help. I need help. I'm sorry. I was going to let you get it. I need help. Devin and myself, we need help. All right?
Proceed, Shannon.
All right. It's 6 o'clock, a little after 6 o'clock Eastern here. Draft coming up, of course, like you mentioned, 7 o'clock here on ESPN Radio. The Giants, we got a top 10 pick at 6. I don't know what I should be rooting for right now. I've been going back and forth. Do I want them to draft and trade up the draft the quarterback? If so, who? Do I want them to stay put and take a wide receiver? If so, who? Is it Neighbors? Is it Intunes? I don't know. I need help. Chad, Amber, Zaz, help me. I'm lost right now. The Knicks are playing the Sixers.
Chad, help this man out.
Help me, please.
Well, hold on a second. Okay, so first thing I want to know, so you're a huge Knicks fan, obviously. You're a Knicks-Giants fan. You got the Giants picking number 6 overall, so that's a huge deal tonight. Whatever they just signed up doing, what's the watch setup tonight for Shannon? I mean, you got the draft starting at 8, but the Knicks game started 30 minutes before that. So what's the setup for you, man? You got a lot going on here tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'll have the I have the Knicks game on the television, and then I have the NFL draft on the ESPN radio app on my phone, and I will be watching it.
Good answer.
As well as listening on ESPN Radio. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio and most ESPN stations. And tune in and SiriusXM.
Good answer.
Company man, Shannon Penn of the higher-ups are listening.
Now,
they are in love with you right now.
Now, are you also a hockey fan, Rangers, Islanders? Because the Islanders are on ESPN 2 tonight at the same time.
Rangers.
You're Rangers, okay.
We're looking good right now.
All right, so you're good.
So, Chad, help this man out because he's already hyperventilating an hour before our draft coverage even starts. We're still multiple hours away from the actual draft and from the Giants having to make this decision. What do the Giants do?
Well, see, I have the Giants as my most intriguing team in the draft because of the Daniel Jones situation. They're paying a guy $40 million a year in Daniel Jones. So they've got a starter for this year in place. Now, with the 6th pick in the draft, could they stand pat and could J.J. McCarthy slide to them? It certainly feels possible if the Chargers stay at number 5 and if the Arizona Cardinals stay at number 4. But when you're talking about all these possible trade scenarios, then that starts to put the Giants' certainty of getting the quarterback, at least the quarterback they want, in the 6th pick in doubt. So what did the Giants do? If they stay pat at 6, I think they can get themselves either the number 2 receiver in the draft, possibly the second best tackle in the draft, but chances are somebody who's a little bit more quarterback desperate, the Minnesota Vikings, could slide in front of them to that 4th or 5th pick to take J.J. McCarthy, which I think would be the quarterback they would have their hopes set upon. So it's going to be really intriguing to see what they do, but it's all going to really start to unfold based on pick number 3 and what do the Patriots do. So the Giants draft is at this point is very dependent, not upon themselves, but upon other teams. So I wish I could give you more confidence, Shannon, but there's so much unknown before the Giants, it's hard to predict what the Giants do at number 6.
If I'm a Giants fan, and I'm not a Giants fan, let's make that really clear, but if I was a Giants fan, I would want them to trade up and take a quarterback. Because if you're, look, the draft is all about hope, right? That's why every fan loves the NFL draft because you got hope that your team is going to land someone who's going to help them change the franchise. And if you wind up trading up and presumably to get a quarterback if you're the Giants, you're telling the fan base, okay, we have identified a guy that we really like and we are going for it. So at least you got some conviction and you're telling your fan base, We're doing whatever it takes to get this guy. So if I'm a now, who knows if it's going to work out? But if I'm a Giants fan, I like that my team is showing some conviction. They're identifying the player they want, and they're doing what it takes to go up and get him.
Shannon, if your team tonight ends up drafting instead of a quarterback there at the top of the first round, if they end up drafting Ndoudse, or I'm assuming Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board, but we could throw him into the mix. One of those top wide receivers, even neighbors. Are you upset? Are you disappointed?
Definitely,
or are you
good
happy
with it? You're getting a flashy guy. You're definitely going to be good with it.
I'm good with it. Any of the top three wide receivers in that position, you're good with it. And as we had Sal Powell on earlier, he said really the focus for the Giants should be 2025, not 2024, because Daniel Jones is going to be going anyway. But it'd be good to get a weapon in there if we don't go quarterback that high in the draft.
I always have mixed feelings about that because, yes, theoretically, they don't need a quarterback for 2024 because, yes, they still have Daniel Jones. It's this general manager that paid Daniel Jones, and so you're going to end up starting Daniel Jones if he's healthy and can actually go this season, which he's expected to be. But at the same time, we also see that these rookie quarterbacks are helped out by sitting behind vets. And so you have an opportunity here to bring in the rook, Chad, to sit behind Daniel Jones for a season where he doesn't have to be relied upon, as opposed to waiting until the 2025 draft, which who knows where you're going to be drafting then, and then trying to address a quarterback position after maybe you've already parted ways, likely have already parted ways with Daniel Jones.
Don't you like your rookie quarterback to learn behind an experienced,
I do,
quality veteran?
Yeah,
does Daniel Jones fit the experienced quality veteran moniker? Or do you want your quarterback to learn what to do or what not to do? I suppose there's two ways we can learn.
It's not that bad. I feel like you're doing old D. Jones dirty there. Come on, Dollar Danny. Like that. I mean, the reality is, I think the biggest problem with Daniel Jones has been the durability factor, because he did prove himself, or at least prove himself to some degree, in the season in which they ended up paying him coming off of that
your
season.
Your number one job as a quarterback is, after third down, we should still have the ball in our hands so we could punt it. Far too often, Daniel Jones gave the ball away to the other team. Not just interceptions, but fumbles as well. So Daniel Jones leaves a lot to be desired. Daniel Jones will not be the quarterback of the New York Giants for the 2025 season. So he is a dead man walking at this point. Whether they draft a quarterback or not, they're still going to be looking for the next quarterback for the New York Giants as often and as frequently as far as they possibly can to find the right guy, because they know at this point, at least Brian Daboll knows, that Daniel Jones is not going to be his quarterback for the future.
I would just add to that, Chad, that while, yes, we all know Daniel Jones, if they select a quarterback, Daniel Jones is a lame duck quarterback, and essentially his job is going to be to help the rookie quarterback learn what's going on. And that's my point, is Daniel Jones had a pretty decent year in Brian Daboll's first year there. Like, mm-hmm. The whole point is to have this rookie quarterback learn, not necessarily from Daniel Jones, but it's to learn Brian Daboll's offense. And Daniel Jones is a veteran now of that offense. Like, he would be able – he's not going to teach him, hey, throw an interception here. Hey, don't hold on to the ball, so well on third down and fumble. He's going to be teaching him what that offense is. Like, Daniel Jones is a decent person to learn that from at this point, right?
We've seen some of these quarterbacks. Joe Flacco famously in Denver said, it's not my job to teach this young fellow what to do. Now – can you learn by someone who's not purposely trying to teach you? Can you just be by their side and listen to the coaching and take the coaching points and watch the tape when they watch the tape and gather information? This quarterback does not need to be your teacher. It does not need to turn into Josh McCown, who was literally hired and gained another $30, $40 million at the end of his career by just trying to be the caddy to whatever rookie quarterback a team drafted. So Daniel Jones doesn't have to be that guy for this rookie to learn. And no, I'm being a bit facetious with some of my Daniel Jones criticism here, but I think because we all know that Brian Daboll is going to be looking in a different direction. Now, the offense at Michigan was very similar to the offense that Brian Daboll ran at Alabama, which he also brought some of that with him to New York. So that brings in the J.J. McCarthy conversation and a reason why while J.J. McCarthy may be of these quarterbacks who are listed this year as the potential first-round picks with the fewest starts and the youngest of these guys, why a guy like Brian Daboll could be incredibly comfortable because of the similarities in the systems. He could walk in the door with already 50-plus, 75%-plus of the playbook understood and down because the systems have been so similar between Michigan and what the Giants run.
So that might be what happens at number 6 in this NFL draft, with coverage starting at 7 p.m. right here across your ESPN radio stations. But this draft really gets started at number 2, because we all know what's going to happen at number 1. So frankly, the Bears, it's boring. The Commanders is where it starts getting interesting. John Keim, ESPN Washington Commanders reporter, kind enough to join us. And John, what is the latest with the Commanders with that second overall pick?
I'm still expecting Jaden Daniels. That's been the vibe for a while, and not just the vibe, but that's where the intel takes you, and nothing has taken me off that, so I still expect it to be Jaden.
All right, are they interested in entertaining offers for this pick? We keep on hearing about could be possible double-digit trades here in the first round. It seems like the Commanders have not been really mentioned too often in that conversation. Is a trade a possibility?
I think only if Minnesota came and said, we'll give you a couple number ones and Justin Jefferson. Short of that, I don't see them trading. They're not going to trade. They're going to take Jaden Daniels. There have been a lot of calls made to them, as you would imagine, but nothing has enticed them because they have the guy they want there. And there's no reason for them to move back to get someone else that maybe they still like, but you got the guy you really like, take him at 2. That's what they're going to do.
Now, the Commanders have a pair of picks in round 2. They have a trio of picks in round 3, including a compensatory pick. Is there any possibility that they use, maybe a combination of those 5 combined round 2 and round 3 picks to even jump back into the back end of the first round tonight?
I think you have to say that's a possibility because they need a left tackle. I can't stress how badly they need a left tackle. So they're going to find a way to get one. Now, the question will be, there are several tackles in this draft that some of them might still be there when they pick at 36. But if they start to feel like the guy might not be there, then yes, I could see them trading back up into the first to take a guy there. Because, again, Charles Leno started the last couple of years there for him. They released him after the season. He had surgery. They have Cornelius Lucas, who's a good backup tackle, but not the long-term answer. So they need to find one in this draft, and they need to find him pretty high in the draft.
You seem pretty certain, John, that it's going to be Jaden Daniels there at number 2. Who were the other quarterbacks, though, that they visited with and spent time with that they could surprise us with?
The other guys, and maybe in this order, would be J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. And then Michael Penix was also in town for a visit, too, when all 4 of them were here last week. So I think there is certainly something with each of those guys that is enticing, and you can make a strong case for those players as well. But I think with Daniels, the separator is he just has a unique ability with his legs, but he's also a guy who's developed as a passer quite a bit. And I've talked to NFC coaches who have said that they feel he's a passer who can run. I think that's the separator there. But J.J. McCarthy, the leadership, I think there's an untapped potential there because he wasn't asked to do as much. Good arm, but will take some time to develop. And I think with Drake May, there's a lot to like there. Good frame, good arm, but I think the feeling with other teams too was that he would take a little bit longer to develop. That's why it points to Jaden Daniels.
Well, like I said, this NFL draft gets real interesting starting with that second overall pick by the Washington Commanders. John Keim, ESPN Washington Commanders reporter. Thanks for your time, John.
Thanks.
We are heading towards the NFL draft. We are about 45 minutes away from our draft coverage starting right here across your ESPN radio stations. You can also listen to the NFL draft coverage on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Jonathan Zaslow, Chad Brown, Amber Wilson hanging out, filling in for the guys here on Freddie and Harry. Freddie and Harry presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Another one of the most interesting teams in the first round of this draft, drafting quite a bit later. is the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin Seifert, ESPN NFL writer, kind enough to join us. And Kevin, thanks so much for your time. The Vikings need a quarterback, and everybody is out here guessing how they're going to do it. Do you think they're trading up tonight?
I think they are trying as hard as they possibly can to do it, but they also realize that they can't will themselves into those spots. Especially at number three with the Patriots. The Patriots need a quarterback, and no matter how much the Vikings might try to package various draft picks that they have, it still might not be enough, and the Patriots might, you know, end up just wanting to take a quarterback more than anything. And so they are definitely trying. It might end up being at four or five, or it might end up being at, you know, sticking at 11 and hoping and understanding that somebody is eventually going to fall to them there. I think they will come out of here with a quarterback, but the question of who, I think, is resting as much in the hands of other teams as it does with them.
All right, Kevin, so you make it sound as if there's not a lot of confidence in Sam Darnold, that they have to come out of this draft with a quarterback. If there's a run where the top four quarterbacks seem to be Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy, if all those guys are gone, are they willing to settle for Bo Nix? Are they willing to settle for Michael Penix over having Sam Darnold start for them this season?
Well, they could do both. I guess I would be really surprised if you say the top four quarterbacks go and the fourth is McCarthy, and they feel like they would just assume go with Sam Darnold over Michael Penix or possibly over Bo Nix. And so I think they signed Sam Darnold as a player who they know has had two chances to be a starter in the league and for a lot of reasons failed, spent last year as a backup. And really, I think the ceiling that they envision for him in a realistic sense is that he can play well enough to give them credible chances to win football games until whoever they draft is ready to play, and that they don't have to rush that player onto the field because they either don't have a starter or they have someone who they don't think is going to, or it turns out to not be able to even remotely play in a credible way. And so I suppose if somehow Sam Darnold, you know, has a renaissance season and they can't get the rookie onto the field, then that would be a good thing for them. But I don't know that that's their plan A, B, or C.
Kevin, if the Vikings are either in a position or put themselves in a position to select a quarterback here in the first round, how much is Justin Jefferson involved? Do they ask his opinion of any of these quarterbacks that could be available?
I don't think they've asked his opinion. I do know that Kevin O'Connell especially has been in regular contact with him over the course of the offseason. And I think he has given him some insight into what their plan is and what their process has been since, you know, even before Kirk Cousins signed with the Falcons. I think that Justin Jefferson was apprised of the various possibilities that could be the outcome there. And then once he did sign with the Falcons, I think he understands what the Vikings are going to try to do. I'm not sure if they said, do you like this guy over that guy, or should we take this player or not? But I think they are, especially, like I said, Kevin O'Connell is directly in contact with him to give him, at least keep him up to speed on what they're attempting to do.
Kevin, if the Patriots say to the Vikings, we want some draft capital and Justin Jefferson in order for you to trade up to three, would the Vikings do it?
I do not think they would. And I understand why the Patriots would want that, because if the Patriots were moving from 3 to 11, they would lose their chance at a premium player. And certainly getting Justin Jefferson would be a premium player out of that trade. But I think that I just don't think that the Vikings view that as smart team building to get rid of their best player in the pursuit of understandably that they need a quarterback. But I think they would try to find other options if that were the ultimate request.
Well, we will find out tonight again in about 40 minutes from now. Our draft coverage starts right here on ESPN Radio. Kevin Seifert, ESPN NFL writer. Thanks, Kevin, for your time. We appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I think it'd be so silly for them to trade away Justin Jefferson. Just so stupid. But it's one of those rumors that's out there, right? I mean, there's all these rumors, you know, are the Bengals going to trade away T. Higgins tonight? Are there, you know, there's all these current players that end up getting thrown into sometimes these draft day deals. And Justin,
I think the only way you do it is if he gives you the sense that he doesn't want to be there. If that's the case, then all right, let's make it happen and let's use him to our advantage to move all the way up and get one of the top quarterbacks.
Even then, be like, you know what? You'll change your mind, buddy, when we draft whoever we draft, and eventually you'll come around. Coming up next here on Freddie and Harry with Zaslow, Chad Brown, and Amber Wilson filling in for the guys. We got to get to Chad Brown's NFL draft prospect evaluation process. That is next on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is Freddie and Harry, but you've got Jonathan Zaslow, Amber Wilson, and Chad Brown hanging out with you, filling in for the guys. Chad Brown was drafted pick 44 in the 1993 NFL draft. He went on...
43 busters selected ahead of you, right?
Yeah, 43 exactly. Busters selected ahead of you. You went on to be a two-time first-team All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, and you were in the league for 15 years. So you know a thing or two about football,
bit.
I'm guessing. Maybe. A little bit about football. Mm-hmm. We're getting you ready here on ESPN Radio for, of course, the NFL Draft. Our NFL Draft coverage starts in just about 30 minutes from now. But right now... we got to get Chad Brown's NFL draft prospect evaluation process because we already discussed earlier in the show. And if you missed anything here on Freddie and Harry, you can check out the podcast on the ESPN app. We discussed earlier, Chad, it ain't a perfect science the way that it goes down right now. So how would Chad Brown get it done?
All right. Well, cue that sound up for me, Shannon.
Number one.
Yes.
All right. Number one's always going to be tape. How well did you play when you played competition? Did you find ways when you were playing the best competition to raise your game in critical moments in the game, in the fourth quarter, at the end of the half, in a critical moment, maybe in overtime in college ball? Did you find ways to elevate your game? Tape is always going to be number one. Tape's probably 80 plus 85% of the evaluation process.
Number two.
Number two is going to be your mental makeup. Do you have a passion for football? Well, if you've got a passion for football, you might want to know probably more than just your job. Whenever I am talking to kids looking to get into the NFL and we're going over maybe some combine training drills or things like that, I say be prepared to answer really crazy, obscure questions.
What was the craziest one you got?
Oh, there's always a ton of those questions, but I'm talking about crazy obscure football questions that indicate your passion for football. What's your goal line defense you guys ran most often? Oh, coach, that would be 6-2 stack monster. Okay, what was your job? You explain your job. What was the job of the guy next to you? What about the guy on the other side of you? What about the guy behind you? Because if you got a passion for football, you're curious. You want to know all these pieces of the puzzle. So your passion for football. Are you a team first guy? Are you willing to sacrifice self for the team? And do you display mental toughness? Do you put in work and do things that aren't always for your best benefit, but are for the team's benefit? Those are all attributes from a mental standpoint that teams want to understand and know.
Number three
is going to be your football IQ. How smart are you as a football player? Doesn't mean you necessarily need to be able to go up on the whiteboard and draw up and explain everything like you're Sean McVay. That's a different level. But your ability to look at the whiteboard, understand and process the plays from a two-dimensional X's and O's on paper, and then put them into action in your mind, that's that football IQ. And then there's on-the-field football IQ. You know, everyone says, sometimes he's football players aren't very smart. Well, have you ever tried the mental geometry of judging one player running one speed, I'm running another speed, and there's a sideline, and what angle do I need to take to intersect this guy to make sure I can make a tackle and knock him out of bounds and don't allow him to cut back inside of me? That's that mental geometry that you need to have as a football player. That's part of your internal football IQ. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean you're Ivy League graduate, but it certainly means that you understand the nuances of the game and can practice that mental geometry, whether you're a receiver catching up to a football or a linebacker trying to make a tackle, the understanding and that spatial awareness in order to be a good player on the field.
Number four
is always going to be durability, because your best ability is your availability. If you're always in the training room, if you're always hurt, if you're always banged up, you can't help us on the field, man. So I need you to be available, not just for Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays and all the days the NFL plays football now, but also need you to be available during the week to be able to practice so we can install the game plan, so we can gain trust in you as coaches that you can know what to do when we put you out there during the game. So your durability indicates your availability, and we pay you not to play on Sunday, but to play every single Sunday, if at all possible.
Sunday's free. They pay you during the week. That's what Ray Lewis said.
There you go.
All right, next one.
Number 5.
All right, number 5 is going to be your numbers. So this is probably the last piece of things that, from an evaluation standpoint, that I would look at, but so often as a public that we fall in love with. Did you see this guy's numbers at the combine? He ran the fastest L-drill ever. Well, as soon as they start calling L-drill plays, then maybe that's the guy will draft. But until then, that doesn't matter as much as these other 4 things I've listed. Tape, mental makeup, football IQ, and durability. Numbers are always going to be way, way below. I bench pressed 225 11 times. 11 times. It's a laughable number. Wide receivers beat that number. Yet I managed to play 15 years in the NFL. If you get caught up on numbers, particularly what a guy can't do, what you think based on the numbers, you're going to miss out on really good players who have these other things in spades, and then maybe they're lacking at one number or another, but their football IQ, passion, durability, and overall athleticism allows them to overcome that one deficiency in the numbers category.
Zazzle, how many times can you bench 225?
I mean, I feel like the number he gave was really good. It's embarrassing. Sound good to me.
I saw the look on your face when he said that 11
times
was laughable.
Strong.
Linebackers should do 20 plus. 25 is ideal. So to do 11, that definitely wasn't my strong suit. Now, in my defense, I dislocated my shoulder during the season. I broke a hand and had screws and plates put into a hand, so I couldn't bench press at all during my senior season. So there's some reasons and excuses behind that number, but still, 11 is not impressive at all for a linebacker, particularly a guy who's thought of as a first or second round talent.
The hardest part of Chad Brown's evaluation there, and it seems to be the hardest part of actual evaluations in all scouting departments in the NFL, is that whole football IQ one, right? Like the whole mental component of it. Mm-hmm. How would you test that? Because the way that we do it now seems like an imperfect way of actually getting it done.
I would seriously, if I was working at a club, I would seriously get with some AI folks and some of the folks with the virtual reality goggles and all of that, and I would come up with some ways to begin to evaluate all the various positions at their processing speed. As an offensive lineman, because your ability to work together is important, what's my teammate doing, and what do we do when this oncoming linebacker turns into a blitzer? And there's got to be an AI way to develop that. We've seen quarterbacks already start to do that process work with the goggles and some AI things. So I would really push that forward because I can't see anything at the combine from a drill perspective that relates to the processing speed needed to make the immediate decisions at every position on the football field to be a great football player. Of course, you need the physical prerequisites, but you need to make a decision first so those physical skills can then be reactive. Until then, if you're slowed down by your brain and you don't know what to do, your physical skills never have a chance to flourish.
So you would rather then, like if a team then would rather a guy who is really smart, high football IQ, maybe less on the athletic prowess side than a guy who is crazy on the athletic side, physical abilities off the charts, who is a little bit less intelligent football-wise.
Now, how much less intelligent? I mean, there's always the gray area within all these things. But generally, I want people who are smart football players. Smart football players tend to make less mistakes. How many games over the course of a weekend are decided by 3 points or less? And if we're talking about 3 points or less, we're literally talking about two or three plays that make up that difference. And if I got a guy who continues to jump off sides because he's not a very smart football player, hey, man, you're not only costing us 5 yards, but you're giving them 5 yards. You're making it a shorter distance for them to get the first down, which then allows them to get into field goal range, and they kick the game-winning field goal. Those kind of things over the course of a season add up. So if I can collectively be one play at each player on the field smarter per game, each starter, that's 22 extra plays that I win versus you, which are more athletic yet dumber football players. So I'll take the smart guys every single time.
I love the idea of using AI to evaluate that, because watching the tape and all that is great, but the reality is the game is just not nearly as fast at the collegiate level, and there's differences there. So how they process it in college does not mean that they're going to have the aptitude to process it at the rate you need them to in the NFL. There's no way to really replicate that. Sitting down, taking a test like Wunderlich does not seem to be the way to replicate that. So I agree with you, using AI, using goggles, all the technology we have, like we use for fighter jet pilots and all sorts of stuff. We should implement probably more of that in football. That's great. This is Freddie and Harry, Jonathan Zaslow, Chad Brown, Amber Wilson hanging out with you. So one of the other things that was up for discussion as we head into this draft, if everybody wants to be, guys, the Houston Texans of last year, right? Where you actually hit on the guy at quarterback and you hit on some of the other picks, and all of a sudden you go from a team that we thought that they were giving their new head coach a 7-year deal, I believe it was there, because they were going to need the time. And they go from team that needs the time, that needs a large window there to build, to the team that now is immediately has the expectations attached to them and we think can do the real winning. Chad, who is the team this year coming out of this draft who could be the next Houston Texans?
It's going to sound crazy considering how far they've come so recently, is the Chicago Bears. They are literally a quarterback away. DeAndre Swift at running back, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen at wide receiver, Cole Kmet and Jared Everett at the tight end position. When you have those kind of guys at the skill positions, that's going to make the quarterback's job that much easier. Justin Fields, while he certainly left something to be desired as a quarterback for the Chicago Bears, was not given the same skill set at these skill positions that Caleb Williams is going to have. Caleb Williams walks in the door and he doesn't have to worry about any of those guys being a disappointment. These are all guys who have proven themselves on an NFL level. And oh, by the way, the Bears have a pretty good defense, so he's not going to be asked to go out there and score 30 points a game. So for me, Caleb Williams walks into a really, really good situation. I cannot think of another number one pick in the draft who has walked into a team that won 7 games the year before, that found ways, even after that 7-win season, to make themselves better, even after that. So he's coming into a team where not where the cupboard is bare, where it's decently stocked, and all he has to do in a very Bill Belichickian Patriot way is just do his job. He does not have to do anything extraordinary. Just do your job, and the Bears can be successful.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chad. I think it's Caleb Williams. I think it's Caleb Williams for one Chicago 7-win team. Super rare that team is going to have the number one overall pick. They had the foresight, I guess, to trade away, you know, the pick last year and include this year's number one first round pick from Carolina, and that worked out so well because the Panthers were awful. So you have a top quarterback going to in his rookie season a team that won 7 games that were close to average, but then it's not just, you know, it's not like, again, Bryce Young last year, no one was calling Bryce Young, or even C.J. Stroud for that matter, who ended up going right after him. Nobody was calling either one of them a generational quarterback. This year, you have what we're being told is a generational quarterback who is going to a team that is much better than worthy of, if you will, the number one overall pick in the draft. So I really think it's Chicago that can make that jump.
I understand what you guys are doing there, because obviously you're right. It's an unusual situation that the Bears get that pick from the Panthers. So the Bears aren't the team that was bad enough to have the number one overall pick. They just acquired that pick. That's a good situation for him to walk into. I'm not necessarily sold yet on Eberflus, frankly. I still think that that team has a lot of holes. For me, it would be the Minnesota Vikings, because I like the weapons there with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson, and then having Christian Darrisaw anchor that line. I mean, I think that that Minnesota Vikings team is a pretty complete team around whoever takes over there at that quarterback position. And they do have two first round picks. So I don't know if they're going to end up trading up and getting one of these top guys, but whoever ends up in that situation, I think ends up in a very good situation moving forward. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next here on Freddie and Harry, we've got to get to our NFL draft predictions. We are just a little more than 15 minutes away from our NFL draft coverage right here on ESPN Radio. It is prediction time.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It looks like a beautiful and sunny day in Detroit, Michigan, and the NFL draft is going to get underway there in just over an hour from now. But the coverage of the NFL draft will start right here on your ESPN radio stations in just about 10 minutes from now. We're coming down the stretch here on Freddie and Harry. If you missed anything here on Freddie and Harry, you can check out the podcast on the ESPN app. NFL Pro Bowler Chad Brown's been hanging out with us. Jonathan Zaslow, he's been hanging out with us as well.
Why can't you give me an introduction like that? I mean, NFL Pro Bowler, Chad, like, why can't I get anything like that?
All right, two-time championship broadcaster, formerly for the Miami Heat, Jonathan Zaslow, joining us. Not quite as impressive as if he actually played a sport, nevertheless. Also, there's me, Amber Wilson. We've been filling in for the guys all day long, getting you ready for this NFL draft. So, guys, it is time now. We have to give our bold predictions. I need the most bold prediction from each of you as we head towards this draft. Let's start with you, Chad.
I think that Bo Nix does not get drafted in the first round.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. I've seen all kind of mocks of various types where Bo Nix is going to the Broncos at 12, things like that. But I saw a mock today where Bo Nix was not drafted at all in the first round. And having called some of his games when he was in the SEC, I believe that's more true to form than what he showed at Oregon. And I think the rest of the NFL agrees with me, and he does not get drafted tonight.
My bold prediction for tonight. There will be a trade this evening that will involve a all-pro Pro Bowl caliber player. Mm. So it'll be to move up, you know, a pick, move down, whatever it is.
Like a current all-pro player?
Yeah, yeah. Like a big name.
Deebo Samuels?
It's T. Higgins, you know. I don't believe Justin Jefferson, but a big-name player will be involved in a trade tonight. That's my bold prediction.
That's a pretty good prediction. There's a lot of those vet players that their names have been floated and rumored. If you're the Bengals and you feel like T. Higgins is too disgruntled anyways because he continuously asked for a trade, he doubled down again yesterday, I think, on this trade request that he made. So if you're them, are you like, all right, you know what? Let's use this tonight as leverage. We'll throw him into some sort of deal and get better draft capital. I wouldn't be shocked if we see it from one of those teams, even if it's not from Cincinnati.
Can I also tell you real quick, Amber, I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'll allow it, yes.
I got ESPN hold out. I got ESPN right now on my television here. And, you know, they're doing the college game day crew.
That's good, by the way. I'm glad it's ESPN on your television and not Fox. Proceed.
Yeah, you know, I'm supporting the company. And so you got the college game day crew that's out there, and they're in front of where, you know, they're going to have, like, they're going to have the event on the stage outside. Amber, Chad, there must be a million people outside. Like, obviously, there's so much blue, Lions, jerseys. I think there's I didn't quite count. I think there's a million people outside. People love the NFL. I own that stadium, by the way.
There are tens of thousands of people. You're right. It looks like behind the college game day crew, because it's the college game day crew that they have right now on set live on ESPN. And behind the college game day crew, like you have for college game day, but even more, I would say even
more
fans, which is insane and ridiculous. And they're all there for that outdoor stage. I saw a picture of two guys tailgating 8 hours ago, Chad. 8 hours. It might have been 9 hours ago now. They were tailgating at where the draft is taking place 9 hours before the draft was even going to get going.
As a person who has benefited financially from the fanaticism of NFL fans, I say thank you.
That's right.
I hear stories like that, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I hope when the next round of CBA comes around, these players make so much money, they decide to give more player to old, broken-down players like myself. So, yes, fans, your money comes to me. I'm a greatly, deeply appreciative.
A heartfelt thank you from Chad. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not surprised to see those kind of numbers or hear about those kind of numbers. The NFL is king. Clearly, they have mastered the year-around art of always being the biggest story.
People love this league. They love it.
They do. We love this league. Are you kidding me? I mean, Chad might even love it a little bit more because it paid him a lot of money. So, like, that's got to be pretty cool. But you and I also super love this league. Tailgating is fun. I'm not sure tailgating in an empty parking lot for a draft is necessarily my cup of tea. That seems like a different ball game.
I mean, they are out there, and I'm telling you, it's an incredible sea of people that are right behind that college game day set.
It's funny because also there's less people paying attention to the college game day set as normal. They're just kind of all out there hanging out.
No one's holding up a sign.
No one's holding up any signs. Not a single one. Obviously, an array of jerseys. Of course, you have a lot of Lions jerseys that you can see. But this is going to be a very well-attended draft in Detroit. So coming up next here on your ESPN radio stations is, in fact, the 2024 NFL Draft.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.